This is Jay Sekulow. 24 hours from now, we will know the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So by the way,
down to two.
I tell you, Chris Christie is somebody I've liked a long time. He's a total professional. He's a good guy, by the way. A lot of people don't understand that. But I'm narrowing it down. I mean, I'm at three, potentially four. But in my own mind, I probably am thinking about two. And I just want to pick somebody that's very good. I want to pick somebody who's solid, who's smart. I'm not looking for an attack dog. Frankly, I'm looking for somebody that really understands what we're talking about, because I'd rather have the whole thing be on policy. And I've said that to you before. I mean, people think of me as an attacker, but I'd rather be talking about policy.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg has apologized to Donald Trump. Here is her statement. On reflection, my recent remarks in response to press inquiries were ill-advised and I regret making them. Judges should avoid commenting on a candidate for public office. In the future, I will be more circumspect.
And she damages the reputation of the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court in the land, when she speaks as if she's a member of one of the other two branches, Congress or the executive branch. The whole reason we respect the court is because it stays out of politics. It is not majoritarian. It doesn't do what it thinks the majority wants. It interprets the Constitution.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And we are less than 24 hours from an announcement from the Republican presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, as to who his vice president will be, his nominee for vice president. We're expecting that tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Obviously, we'll have an analysis. But what we thought we would do today is talk to you. What are you looking for? You may be a Republican, you may be a Democrat, you may be a Libertarian. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for in your candidates? We'll discuss it. It looks like it is down right now, I would say, to Donald Trump says three or four, probably one or two. Let's go around the horn here, see who do you think, Jordan? Who do you think it's probably the leading candidates right now?
The leading candidates, obviously, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, yep. Newt Gingrich, and I'd say Chris Christie. And I feel like all three of those will be involved in a Trump administration. And it may be that they all appear at this event tomorrow. And you may see an unprecedented move by Donald Trump, similar to actually not so unprecedented what George W. Bush did.
So here's the cabinet.
And kind of here are the top folks. This is the one that will be the VP, which is obviously someone he has to name. He won't have to necessarily identify Chris Christie will be attorney general. And
you could say they'll all be involved.
Gingrich will be the national security or the secretary of defense,
yeah.
But he might. Or it could just be an event with one of them. But I think those are the three leading candidates right now.
And Than, there's also some talk about Jeff Sessions as a possible candidate here. What are you hearing about that?
I think that's true. I actually agree with Jordan. I was going to say exactly that. I expect those three might be there as well as Senator Sessions. I think it's absolutely confirmed that he will be in an administration in some capacity. I'll say this, Jay. I'm going to stick with Governor Pence. I think it adds the most to the Trump ticket. That's who I expect it to be. But you know what? I haven't been right about Donald Trump yet, so we'll see.
Nope, and I don't think many people have. Logan, what are we hearing on social media? What are people saying? Yesterday was a big Newt day.
Yeah, people are just starting to log in, so I'm just getting that information pulled right now. But yesterday definitely was pushed towards Newt. He was sort of the leading person in the pack. Even when we weren't talking about it, he was coming up. So I'm curious to see what happens today, but we'll keep it updated.
Why don't we do a little poll? Be a good day to do a poll, because tomorrow's going to be the announcement. You let us know, and I guess it was the easiest way for Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Just comment on the Facebook post if you're watching live. If you're not, log over to the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. You'll see the live post there.
Tell us who you want.
Yeah, tell us who you want as the VP choice, and we'll do a poll. We'll add it up
at the end of the broadcast.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be great. So just go over. So if you're listening on radio, you could just also listen to your radio.
Yeah,
just
you
go over to Facebook. And
you
can at least post your comment there and still listen to your radio station. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Got a lot of calls coming in. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. And let me say something about the matching challenge campaign. Right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 FOIA requests out. Also, one in federal court already. So the ACLJ is busy. That's why we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us on air and talk about politics today, this is the day to do it. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Who are you leaning for president? Who are you leaning for vice president? Back with more in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Now the three-letter words have become problematic.
Well, let me tell you something else that's happened here, and that is Justice Ginsburg, realizing she made a mistake, says, on reflection, my recent remarks in response to press inquiries were ill-advised, and I regret making them. Judges should avoid commenting on a candidate for public office. In the future, I'll be more circumspect. And that is a good statement from Justice Ginsburg, because I still think that if there are cases involving policies, if Donald Trump is the president, I think there'll be motions to recuse. It's going to be completely up to her. That's how it works. But she at least acknowledged that that was a mistake. Here's what Donald Trump says on what he's looking for. He doesn't say he needs an attack dog necessarily. Number three.
And I just want to pick somebody that's very good. I want to pick somebody who's solid, who's smart. I'm not looking for an attack dog. Frankly, I'm looking for somebody that really understands what we're talking about, because I'd rather have the whole thing be on policy. And I've said that to you before. I mean, people think of me as an attacker, but I'd rather be talking about policy.
All right, so let me ask this question, Jordan, because my theory is that Donald Trump, because of who he is and his personality, is an aggressive guy. He's an attacker.
He is the attack dog.
Do you not necessarily want somebody else on there attacking too? Or what's the calculus here?
You've done a lot of presidential campaign. You may need a little bit of a balance. Someone who has governed. Certainly their personalities have to mesh. But we've seen in the past vice presidents who are not like necessarily people who would be best friends in personal life. They may be
Bush
colleagues.
Reagan.
Yeah. Bush and Reagan. Bush and Cheney. I mean, they were people, maybe colleagues. They knew each other from previous government experience, but not necessarily, similar backgrounds. They were different kind of backgrounds, and different kinds of experience that they brought to the table.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump's got to find that, and that's why people like Mike Pence, who have been in Washington and been governors, so dual executive experience and legislative experience. And, he's a talk radio show host as well. So as much as people try to play down that he's not an attack dog,
he was a talk radio host.
He can go there. But he could be kind of a balance, and he makes a lot of conservatives very happy. Now, someone like Chris Christie is very similar to Donald Trump personality-wise, both Northeast, doesn't add a lot to the electoral map, but would mesh well, with the personalities.
What are we hearing?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of comments. I'd say yesterday, like we said, was very highly Newt.
Yeah.
Today, I'd say is mixed, or they're tallying up the votes. And guys, if you are voting on Facebook, please only vote once. Really appreciate that. Put in who you want to be the VP choice. Just do it once, and it gets tallied, so please just... don't stuff the box and do that. But some people are commenting about Newt. They said Newt could be good, but is he too much establishment? We're hearing a lot of anti-establishment comments.
Yeah.
What kind of drove the Donald Trump train? Does he want someone that connected?
Well, here's a good question, because my theory is that actually Newt Gingrich governed kind of not as an establishment guy.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the pitch. Then, you know, you've been involved in this a long time as well. We've been on the Hill a long time when Newt was there. What is your sense?
Yeah, that's great analysis both by Jordan and you, because I actually think both of these guys are sort of sneaky good picks for that very reason. Remember, in recent weeks, both of these guys, Newt Gingrich and Mike Pence, have had disagreements with Donald Trump. I mean, Mike Pence endorsed Ted Cruz before the end of this process, but both of those guys, Jay, are pretty well regarded here in Washington, D.C. And when you talk about Governor Pence, he's very well regarded on the conservative right, where Donald Trump does have some problems. So I think their perception might be a little different than reality on the ground, and they might both be very good picks for that exact reason.
Somebody said, Elmer from on Facebook said, Newt or Judge Andrew Napolitano or our Judge Jeanine. There you go. You got the judges from Fox. I don't think neither one will be in the running, I suspect. All right, let's go ahead. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Roger in Colorado Springs.
Hey, Roger.
Hi, Jay. I have a comment to make.
Yes, sir.
FBI Director James Comey accused Hillary Rodham Clinton of having extremely poor judgment.
Yeah.
Join this statement with Hillary's attempted cover-up of the Benghazi crisis. Hillary lied to the FBI. Hillary lied to Congress. All of this lying demonstrates Hillary's inability to make good, sound decisions.
Yeah, except that she's the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. She now has the backing of Bernie Sanders in that approach. So the fact is, don't underestimate the strength of the Clinton run on the Democratic side. It's going to be significant, folks. So those of you Democrats, I'm sure, realize that these are not open and shut elections. It's not, you know, momentum's going one way right now, because, Roger, in a week, it can all change. Jordan?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, based off world events, both based off what's happening here in our own country, I think what's important to point out is that Hillary Clinton has had a lot of electoral success in the past. So has her husband. They've pulled out elections and primaries that are difficult. She was beat by Barack Obama in a presidential primary, but just barely. And you think about the difference in personalities and the difference in political abilities, campaigning abilities. Barack Obama certainly bested her there and still barely won that primary process, which was tough fought. So now that she's at the top of the ticket, I believe all the polls are right, that we're basically a 50-50 country, and so it comes down to turnout in a handful of states.
Yeah, I think that's – we'll talk about those states in the next segment of the broadcast. Let me also say this, though. If you're a Hillary Clinton supporter or Gary Johnson, try to get through either a comment on Facebook or call us at 800-684-3110. Lines are really jammed up. But we want to hear from Democrats and independents as well, and where you think things are leaning. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Sure, and a lot of my friends who were Bernie Sanders supporters have immediately switched to Gary Johnson. We've seen that. I've seen that a lot on my social media feeds.
Which hurts Hillary Clinton.
Which hurts Hillary Clinton. Because these are people that you'd think historically would go in that way, but they feel betrayed somewhat by Bernie Sanders for endorsing Hillary Clinton, who 2 weeks ago said was unfit.
Does that mean at the DNC, when they have their convention, because there was going to be this, Bernie was going to take it all the way, that's over?
It's over. He's done. And I think what happened is that people didn't understand that it's still politics, even with Bernie Sanders, that it came off this personal thing. And the people that are Bernie Sanders supporters maybe don't understand how politics works.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can go out there and say, this person should never be president ever, ever, ever. But I endorse them for president. And that's just kind of how the game is.
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, on the Republican side, what we've seen is something where that hasn't really happened. Yeah. You have not had all of the former Republican presidential candidates endorse Donald Trump because of his actions.
Right.
They all signed a pledge to do so. So they actually went ahead early on in the process and said, we will support. Now, that was really supposed to corner Donald Trump.
Right.
And end up cornering all of the other candidates.
So who hasn't endorsed so far?
Jeb Bush hasn't endorsed.
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz is not endorsed.
Although he's speaking.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on.
Anybody else you can think of that's not endorsed that was running? Jindal?
I can't think of anybody that hadn't endorsed, but Jay, the big reason there is a lot of them want to run again. Bernie Sanders isn't going to run again. And I would quickly say, I don't think it's going to happen, but if I was Hillary Clinton, that's who I would pick to be the vice president, Bernie Sanders.
I think that's a good idea.
Sanders?
If you're playing the smart bet here, you know, in some ways you're going to get all of the people that you're going to lose, all of the sort of the middle of the road young people. I don't know if he'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, I think he would. He would do it.
She would do it. Sorry.
You think she'd do it?
Yeah.
Pick Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
No.
So that's because she's got
divisive to win a general election.
And their foreign policy is way off.
Way off. In Israel. I mean, Bernie Sanders is very much pro-Palestinian.
He's like a BDS.
Yeah, he's a pro-boycott, divest, and sanction guy. She is not. We're going to compare we're going to compare the platforms when we get the both parties' platforms. We'll do that on the broadcast. Let's grab another call.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Doug, who's calling in New York on line 2.
Hey, Doug.
Doug, you there? All right, Doug, we'll get back to you. Let's go to Linda, who's calling from Carver, Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jay. God bless you forever.
Thanks.
I just wanted to put in my vote for Trump and Pence.
Okay.
Is it Pencey?
Mike, no, it's Pence. Yeah. Mike Pence.
Yeah, we're doing that on Facebook, but we'll add you.
We'll add you there, Linda. Yeah. You like Mike Pence.
About this one voice in Israel.
Oh, so the one voice thing in Israel. Let me give a follow-up on that. We talked about it yesterday or the day before. So the State Department... Again, here we go. And we are putting – that's one of the FOIAs that we've got going out, Linda, by the way, to the State Department. They funded a group in Israel that ended up running a political campaign against Benjamin Netanyahu, who ended up winning. So right now we're trying to find out through our – and I don't have it listed here as one of the Freedom of Information Act requests that we've got planned, but I believe that is definitely one that is on our list.
That's the last one on the list.
Yeah, okay, there it is, the taxpayer dollar. So that's one of the – six we have out. We are trying to figure out why in the world the State Department was trying to unseat an elected prime minister of a state that's a country that is an ally of ours. And of course, Jordan, they said the emails are missing.
Yep, they've been deleted.
Because he never kept them.
Destroyed, right. And so this, again, we go to the administration where they cannot produce the documents that they have a legal obligation under federal rules to keep. They have to keep these federal records. These are part of the records of the federal government, so people can go and if you do it, file a request.
Right.
Or ultimately, these are documents and records that are released to the public. Even classified documents become unclassified. And yet here, they've come right out and said, destroyed.
Yeah, so here's what we're doing, just so you know, folks. This is important. We've got a Freedom of Information Act out to the State Department on the Iran lying about the Iran deal. Logan had talked about that previously where they edited the video.
Right.
We are actually now in federal court on that one because the State Department did not respond. We have a FOIA request out on the censorship by the FBI, DOJ, and Department of Homeland Security about the censorship of the jihadist phone calls to 911. Why did they change the language, the definitions, and the interpretations of what he said? We have another one out on why they scrubbed jihad and radical Islam references from their training manuals. We've got another one out about the Clinton-Lynch plane meetings. That's about to be filed. And the State Department, on and on it goes. And we'll be in court on a lot of these. That's just the nature of what's going to happen here. So, folks, this tells you what the ACLJ is doing. We're not just talking about these issues on radio. We're taking action. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We're midway through it right now in July. We could use your help. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We encourage you to do that today at ACLJ.org. Lo, we'll take more of the calls when we come back.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but we'll open up at 1-800-684-3110 or get your comment in now on Facebook.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Well, we may have a little bit of breaking news, but we're going to hold on to it for a minute, Logan.
I don't think there's any problem with reporting it. The Drudge Report is reporting from an article from Roll Call that Mike Pence has been chosen as the VP nominee. We're just getting the information now. The website, as you can imagine, is kind of half shutting down as people are reading it. Says that Donald Trump is planning to announce that Indiana Governor Mike Pence is his choice for vice presidential running mate, according to a Republican with direct knowledge of the decision. So a leak that came out, which often does happen a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but let me just give a hesitation here, folks, and I'll let Jordan comment on this. A lot of this is being fueled by the fact that Mike Pence was not going to be next Tuesday at an event with his Secretary of State for his or Secretary of Treasury for Indiana, but that's because he was going to be at the RNC.
Yeah.
So I hope they're not that's not what they're just reading into it. I mean, it's hard to believe that they would have it. Do you think they would pre-release it 24 hours before?
There was a lot of speculation that they could, just couldn't because it's going to be in New York and there people have been watching Indiana flights, for instance.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, some of his campaign leadership team, so not from his state government team, but his PAC team that run his campaigns, were on flights to New York today and from Indiana. So because of that, a lot of speculation. But this report at a Roll Call, this is not a random news source, is pretty definitive that Donald Trump is planning to announce. Now, again, they can put this out and change.
Yeah.
Planning to announce.
Yeah.
If something happens in the next 12 hours, that all...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's just the way the nature of this kind of news sources is. But in general, think about all the people that have to know right now if the event is tomorrow. Graphic designers.
Sure.
Staffers. Lots of people that may not be exactly...
Right.
Yeah. You know, with closed lips.
And plenty of media who
are
already getting the background reports that, you know, they're not supposed to release it yet, but they've got interns, they've got staff.
Yeah, no, those are both good points. You're both making good points.
So you put it all together. It's very difficult these days
to keep
something under wraps, those final 24 hours. And as much as Donald Trump has tried to with putting the different names out there.
Some companies printing the signs, you know.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And those will be up tomorrow.
Right.
Yes.
So, Than, if it's Mike Pence, which apparently it is, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a good pick. I mean, the reason politically, Jay, that I think he's a better pick than Newt Gingrich is twofold. One, he's 57 as opposed to 73 for a 70-year-old nominee. I think that's a good thing. And the second thing, he appeals a little bit better to social conservatives than Newt Gingrich does. They both appeal very well in D.C., Jay, which is somewhere that Donald Trump does not play well, which has been to his strength in this nomination process.
Yeah.
But both of them play well, add to that ticket. I think politically he's the better pick than Newt Gingrich.
Well, he's a governor. He's also a member of Congress. I mean, somebody we worked actually very closely with for a very long time. All right.
And he plays that part that I think a lot of people are okay with, which is someone who is, like you said, you may not think of him as boisterous because people don't necessarily know his talk radio background, but he doesn't have a look or appeal that you feel like he's going to be competing with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Where you would have that with Newt, someone who you felt like could go toe-to-toe.
But I still think, you know, with Jordan, what you said, it's probably also true. It wouldn't be shocking, though, if Newt is there and Christie's there and Sessions is there, and he says these people are all going to have – he may not say what they are until next week I'll announce what they're going to be, but these are going to be my cabinet. I would be surprising.
Yeah, to be a little bit more of a state. Now, he may have a separate Mike Pence event now that this news is breaking. To put forward the others together, I could see being a stronger show of kind of the GOP support that Donald Trump's putting together.
Yeah. The big question that right now is flooding Facebook is, who is Mike Pence?
All right, so Mike Pence, I think we should talk about that before we take a call.
Yeah,
I think so. All right, so Mike Pence was a six-term congressman from Indiana. He is a Christian conservative, social conservative, fiscal conservative. He is the current governor of Indiana. He raised, Than, if I'm not mistaken, he was the fourth in leadership in the House of Representatives in the last two terms of his career in the House.
Yeah, that's correct. And also what's interesting, Jay, before he was in leadership, he took the path through the Republican Study Committee, which is sort of like the Freedom Caucus is today. It's the most conservative wing of the House.
Yeah.
That's a very rare path to take, to be the leader of the conservative group and then elevate to leadership. He had very good relationships with both leadership and the right wing of the House of Representatives. And I honestly think it's probably that experience set that if this report is right, that's probably why he got the nod.
Yeah, I mean, he's also someone we've worked with. I mean, at the ACLJ for a long time. He's been on a radio broadcast, been in our studios and offices in Washington. I mean, we've worked with him on cases at the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, this is a guy we have a long, long history with. So, you know, again, we're not endorsing or opposing candidates, but would I think that's a smart pick for Donald Trump? Yeah, I would.
Well, it makes a
I think if Hillary Clinton picked Tim Kaine out of Virginia, I think that'd be a smart pick for her.
This would make a lot of social conservatives more comfortable with Trump. Yeah. I think people who have... who may have been Ted Cruz supporters and were not yet on board with Donald Trump. I mean, people like Mike Pence, whether they know about him yet or not, once they do, the fact that he came out of talk radio into government, both at the state level, then in Congress, then as a governor, he's been not, I wouldn't say below the radar, because that's not true in Washington, D.C., but he's not the most boisterous. That being said, he's very comfortable in the media. He was a radio show host, so he's talked on the issues for hours at a time, like we do on our broadcast. And so I think when you put all of that together, plus the experience, it would be a good fit for Donald Trump. It's someone like that. And that's what we expect, is it would be a Senator Corker from Tennessee took himself out of the running. Senator Ernst, they didn't have that executive experience.
Yeah.
Neither did Newt Gingrich. He's got the legislative experience, and certainly as Speaker of the House. But different than the executive running a state, having to make all those state decisions and many decisions which go unnoticed, which are not the most necessarily high profile. I mean, we're talking about sewage and water and roads and transportation, which is all things that the vice president can focus on.
Yep. And then you made a couple of good points here. I think it's important to say, one of which is, let's go through the list. You think this is number one, is a reach out from Trump to the Cruz people, because the Cruz people are close with Mike Pence's people, but also the fact that he has gone after Mike Pence, went after Planned Parenthood in Indiana.
Yeah, Governor Pence was one of the governors that tried to defund Planned Parenthood in Indiana, went all the way to court in that effort. And I would say, if this is true, again, Jay, it is a direct effort by Donald Trump to reach out to Ted Cruz supporters. He should probably be commended for that, bringing the party together. And the other thing, Jay, part of the reason that I sort of thought this might be the nod is the fact that Governor Pence has to withdraw from his reelection for governor by noon tomorrow if he's going to withdraw. So if the nominee was going to be Governor Pence, it had to happen before tomorrow.
So, Jordan, you think it's probable?
I do think it's probable.
You're right. So you're looking at your phone.
Breaking through the news, breaking through different sites. I mean, again, anything can happen in less than 24 hours. If something were to come out, you know, Mike Pence is being extremely vetted right now by the media. If something were to come out, there could be a switch, there could be a change. He's never been at this level, this high profile. But, as Indiana governor, he's had major newspapers after him. He's had the political press in Washington after him before. So I think that, this is almost definite.
Yeah, we got a, for those on Facebook and Periscope, Logan, tell them what we've got.
Yeah, it's just a photo. People ask for a photo of Mike Pence. You know who he is. So there you go. So, I mean, no, you typically don't know the governor of other states, so you may not be as familiar with him, but there he is. There's Governor Mike Pence, someone who definitely fits the bill. Looks like a president.
Yeah, he's got the look. All right, we are going to be here first of all, don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org, as we talked about all these FOIA cases that we're handling. Holding this administration, their most dangerous time for this administration is in the next 6 months, folks. We've got to be on alert, because this is when they'll try to just get stuff through. We're working it. Go to ACLJ.org to support the ongoing work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Looks like Mike Pence is being, and our team is really looking at this right now, but it's starting to break that it is going to be Mike Pence. But we're here for another 30 minutes, so we'll have more to talk about. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
That's right. Stories. If you don't get the rest of the show, join us right now, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can get your comments in that way. Also, ACLJ.org and Periscope. You can search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now, so be a part of the broadcast. Phone lines are jammed. We'll open up later on. If you need to leave us, get the rest of the show later on archived on ACLJ.org, the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, or on Apple TV, Roku, or the ACLJ app.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Freedom.
to the broadcast, everyone. Well, media outlets reporting we are 24 hours, less than 24 hours away from the moment when Donald Trump is going to make the announcement on the VP, but it is already breaking in the media, and that it looks like it is Indiana Governor Mike Pence, 12 years in the United States Congress, his first term as governor of Indiana. He was in leadership in the House of Representatives for his last two terms, where he served as the number four in the House of Representatives. He is pro-life. He is a committed Christian. He's a conservative. This is a, if it is in fact a pick of Mike Pence, I think, as Jordan, you said, this is a reach out to the conservative base and to the the more religious faith-based communities.
Yeah, to the Christian community, the social conservative community, pro-life community. Yeah. On all of these issues, religious liberty, Mike Pence has always been seen as one of us. And so on the activist side, yep. when it comes to the social issues, when it comes to constitutional issues, conservative issues, yep. And he's had to transfer from being the Washington legislator, so in D.C., fourth ranking member of Congress, he got as high as, which is very high, and then moved into being governor, where you have to deal with these difficult decisions, where you do have to make more people unhappy because you've got to make. You've got to go along with your state legislatures. And yes, there's some controversy around Mike Pence, but honestly, that's going to come from the left, not the right. I can't imagine any major conservative leaders upset by this pick.
All right. So CNN is now reporting, according to our sources, all signs point to Pence. New York Times saying Donald Trump's campaign has signaled to GOP officials that he will pick Mike Pence of Indiana as his running mate. CNN says that he has all the paperwork ready to go to take himself off the ballot in Indiana. So it looks like, as we kind of predicted, that it's going to be Mike Pence. Let's go to the phones, Logan.
All right. A lot of people with their own opinions. Let's go to them. Let's go to Shane. He's calling in Denver, Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, Shane.
Hey.
You're on the air, Shane.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious. I know Donald Trump has experience with industrial espionage and critical and confidential documents.
Yep.
What are we doing even considering someone who is not sophisticated enough to understand the logistics and the requirements and the sensitivity of a confidential?
Because we live in a constitutional republic, and Shane, in a constitutional republic, the people get to select through their delegate process the candidates for president of the United States, and Hillary Clinton won the delegate count and the superdelegate count. So that's the way it works in a constitutional republic. Now, the question will be in a general election, how does that play? And that's a different question, but she's the nominee of the Democratic Party.
Yes, she's the nominee. She won fair and square. She will, you know, she's at the top of the ticket. She will be either in first or second place come November. And I think that that's pretty clear. The Gary Johnson may make a run, and they may get more votes than in the past with this libertarian ticket, but Hillary Clinton will either win or come in a pretty close second, I think, because this is a very divided country. And Donald Trump, as we've seen, these polls are showing that it's not like anyone's running away with anything.
No,
now, that doesn't mean
close.
You couldn't have a big electoral victory based off how the states break down. But when it comes down to poll, we're talking about 4 or 5 points in each state, which is basically the margin of error.
Yep.
People are seeing, because our headline, obviously, on Facebook and Periscope is, who will Donald Trump pick as a running mate? And a lot of people popping in and say, you may not know that Mike Pence looks like he was picked. We know.
We know.
Maybe we should change the title on Facebook. We can do that.
Yeah, let's change
breaking
the
news.
Breaking news,
But
I do always like to caution that until it is actually
Mike
announced,
Pence
probable.
Reported.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because in an hour from now,
something could happen.
These reports could all be, the Trump campaign could be pulling them all back. So far, they have not commented to say it's wrong. And so that's, I think, important to point out, that they have not said this speculation is inaccurate. Yep. This is wrong.
Yeah. Fan quickly here, because we're going to a break. House Republicans would be happy with a Mike Pence selection.
He's one of the rare politicians, Jay, that is unapologetically conservative and yet would be very welcomed by the D.C. establishment. He bridged that gap as the chairman of the Republican Conference. I think if this is right, that's why he was picked.
Yeah, I think it's a strong pick if it is. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110. I gave you the list of FOIA requests and the litigation we've got going. We are also working very aggressively on the genocide issue right now as well. You'll be getting an email from me tomorrow. This week, we have two of our associates counsel working with our huge global advocacy team on the issue of genocide by Christians against Christians in the Middle East and others. We're working that issue as well. So go to ACLJ.org and support the ongoing work of the ACLJ.
It's It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Well, the reports are coming in. It looks like at least everyone is reporting that, as we suspected, Governor Mike Pence of Indiana will be the vice presidential nominee. It'll be a Trump-Pence ticket. I'll give you some details about Mike Pence in a moment, but let's go right to the phones. We've had people holding for a long time. Let's go to
some of them guessing as well. Terry in California, been hold 25 minutes before the announcement was broken.
Yeah, hey, Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, I'd like to say, first of all, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
It gives me hope to know that there's at least one honest lawyer in Washington.
Oh, more than that, but go ahead.
No, I like Mike Pence. As a running mate, I think that would, like you said, would be a good, because I was a Cruz supporter originally, and but I definitely don't want to see Christie as Attorney General. I don't trust him.
I think Chris Christie's going to have a role in the administration. I would be shocked, Jordan, if Chris Christie's not in that mix.
I think it is Attorney General. Now, you have to be confirmed for that.
Yeah, that's not going to be so easy.
Some of the issues in New Jersey, but he wasn't tied to those directly. And honestly, I think that Donald Trump would be willing to fight. Chris Christie was an early supporter of Donald Trump, has been a close advisor, even through the VP selection process.
Right.
And so he will be, I can't imagine a Donald Trump cabinet without Chris Christie and Newt Gingrich.
Let me read, and
probably Jeff Sessions as well. So they will all have significant roles in the Trump cabinet.
Yeah. Let me read Mike Pence's bio, and then I want to get Fan a comment, because, again, we're not endorsing or opposing him, but we're going to tell you the truth. We've known him, and we've worked with him. And I think it's a good pick. As I said, I think, by the way, if Hillary Clinton were to pick somebody like Tim Kaine, I think for her that would be a good pick. Mike Pence was born in Columbus, Indiana, graduated Hanover College, then earned a doctorate in law from the University of Indiana School of Law in 1986. He eventually headed up the Indiana Policy Review Foundation. He does have pretty deep policy perspectives here. In 1992, he started a radio career, as we mentioned. It was a syndicated show through 1999. He has three children, resides in Columbus, Indiana. Of course, now he's resides in the governor's mansion. Mike, describes himself as a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. He was elected in 2008 to the chairmanship of the House Republican Conference. So, Than, let's get some personal knowledge here. We know him well. He's been on our broadcast many, many times. He's a good friend. What do you think?
Well, having met him several times, Jay, and worked with him, I think that description of him as a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, I think that's accurate. Yeah. I mean, before he was a member of House Republican leadership, he was the chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, which is the most conservative wing. He always carried the bills to defund Planned Parenthood, so that is really where his core is. Just to underline something Jordan said, I think all of the people that Jordan mentioned not only will be in a Trump administration, they should be in an administration, but I think the vice presidential pick should be mainly about reaching a demographic that you don't naturally reach well. That's why I think Mike Pence is a good pick, because he does exactly that.
Some people are commenting now asking about Ben Carson's role, if he'll have a role.
I think Ben Carson will have a role. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ben Carson, the head of Health and Human Services or education.
Potential cabinet position, HUD also. I mean, you know, all of these issues that he's talked about, urban development, problems with it. And I think the bridging these racial issues that are plaguing the country right now, that he could have an important role in that conversation as well. But when it comes down to this selection, I think it was about it wasn't so much about the Trump voters, who a lot of those can be crossover voters, independents, or people who may never have gotten involved before. This was about mainstream Republican voters, the conservatives, social conservatives, evangelicals, and Christians, because Hillary Clinton wants to contest states like Georgia, North Carolina again, where you've got heavy evangelical vote that you've got to turn out, and you've got to do a better job than Mitt Romney did in 2012 to have a shot at the presidency. But also, as Dan pointed out, you've got these dueling issues, which Mike Pence is able to cover both, is not just those evangelical voters, but also the more establishment GOP money, the funders, the those who have been kind of, you know, the lifelong Republicans, who are more comfortable with people who have been in the spotlight before and have governed before, had to make these tough calls before, whether it's budget decisions in Indiana or legislative compromise in Washington, D.C. And that being said, what Mike Pence showed through those credentials, as Dan's pointed out, is you can pass legislation, you can govern a state, but you can also stick to your conscience.
You know, Logan, it's interesting here. I'm looking at the Facebook feed. I'm still not seeing a lot of Mike Pence name, because I guess it's just low name recognition.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you look at the numbers. I've seen some of the preliminary of our poll that's still going on, obviously, but it's he's in a second, but by a big gap. I think you're right. I think people just don't know him. Don't know the name. Don't know anything about him.
If you ask most people, I think most people of our listeners, they know Paul Ryan. They could probably name a handful of other members of Congress that have been.
Would that be about it?
Which would be the ones who you've seen on television recently with all the hearings, maybe their own congressman and a few from their state, possibly. And then that's about it. Mike Pence has not been in that Washington spotlight for a handful of years. He's been back in Indiana. Obviously, he's very well known to Indiana voters, but he is not someone who's just been a regular on your cable news broadcast or even on your radio shows, because he's been focused on running a state.
Yep. All right.
All right. For those watching on Facebook, I encourage you to share this. Break the news with us here. It's fun to be a part of something like this. When news happens, you can be one of the friends that helps spread the news. So please share it on Facebook. If you're watching right now on Facebook, let's go back to the phone. So Roberta is calling from Pueblo, Colorado. You're on the air.
Hi, Roberta.
I just wanted to make a comment instead of a question. I would hope that Mike Pence would be a great defender of Israel.
He is.
Their rights to exist, and a prayer warrior for Israel.
Well, I will tell you this, because I've worked with Mike on these issues. And again, we need to be clear. We're not endorsing. We're just giving you what we know. Mike is a friend of Israel. He has been supportive of Israel. And I will tell you this. I believe you're going to see, and I'm not going to go until next week, in the Republican Party platform, a very clear denunciation of the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel. That's going to be very clear. Bernie Sanders, you'll remember, was pushing to have that included in the Democratic platform, to say they were in favor of the boycott and divest sanction. But to Hillary Clinton's credit, she blocked that. So you've got this kind of dynamic going on. But there's no question that Mike's credentials on the life issue, on conservative issues, on Israel are unsalable. I mean,
they're going to like all of his positions on that. They're going to be clearer than Donald Trump's, more longstanding than Donald Trump's. He's got a long record in history going back to the 80s and 1990s of having these positions, not just personally, but publicly through his radio broadcast, through his head of a policy committee in Indiana. So he's got long-standing policy positions on these types of issues that really outdate Donald Trump's positions and have been clear. They have not changed at all, because unlike Donald Trump, he has been a public servant.
Yep.
So he's had to take these policy positions seriously because he's voted on them. Donald Trump is someone coming new to the table on many of the issues.
Yep.
So, yes, he said his views have changed based off getting informed, and that makes sense because he hasn't been a politician.
Logan, let's try to get through all these calls and open the lines up to the way they think about Mike Pence. I don't know if I could do four calls in 2.5 minutes.
Let's try. Let's go to Cole in Portland, Oregon.
Cole.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Hey, we're talking about crossover voting. If everyone out there that's kind of middle of the road,
yeah,
doesn't want to vote for either one of them, thinks he's a racist, they think he's degrading to women,
yeah,
why wouldn't he have asked Condoleezza Rice?
I think she just decided she's not going to do it. I mean, if she was asked, I don't think she was ever in the mix, but I don't think she was going to.
I think that her conservative credentials would come into question,
yes,
and that would further. Kind of like the general,
yeah.
Mike Flynn, who no one's going to question his national security credentials, but on abortion, he flipped again.
Yeah.
But it's just because he's not a politician.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice would not help Donald Trump when it comes to the base voters, which he is still having to convince as of a few days before the Republican convention. And Mitt Romney had this issue too, but not to his extent. I don't remember 4 years ago, Mitt Romney facing this kind of any kind of backlash at the RNC.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, let's go next. No one was questioning that. Irene in New York.
Irene, quickly, please.
Hey, guys.
Yep.
You know, Mike Pence couldn't even handle the media with the RFRA Act.
He had trouble on the RFRA thing. There's no doubt about it. And it was mishandled. But I do not think you should judge his entire service in government by that. But go ahead, Irene.
Please. He's not a good attack dog. He doesn't even smile. Newt Gingrich would have prosecuted Hillary.
Yeah, but you know who's going to prosecute Hillary? Donald J. Trump. I think Trump relishes the role of attack dog.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to attack. That's if it is Mike Pence, which it looks like it is, it looks like he doesn't knows he doesn't need to.
Well,
he's not changing his.
He can have multiple people. He can have Donald Trump, Chris Christie being the attack dog. You don't have to be the VP to be the attack dog. You could be part of the team. And so he's got plenty of people, including himself.
Right.
I think what he needed to show was that he was serious about governing, potentially governing the country.
Yep.
And so he brought someone in that, you know, the VP is number two in line to be president. And you can make their portfolio as broad
as
you
want.
So someone like Dick Cheney, national security, Mike Pence, I mean, there's a lot of domestic issues, foreign policy issues. He's handled both.
Let me ask you this, Logan. From the media standpoint, if you were Donald Trump's media advisor, Pence or Gingrich? Because you said you were worried about them competing, the competition between the two.
Yeah, I think Pence's smart move just purely the fact that Donald Trump is the face of his campaign and still needs to be the face of the campaign. Pence will be great, but I think he'll fill the Joe Biden. He'll be someone that's reliable, trustworthy to that demographic of people, but doesn't overshadow the main candidate.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right, we're taking more of your calls when we come back from break. 1-800-684-3110. I want to talk a little bit about another case that we're getting involved in as well when we come back from the break. So hang with us. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Looks like breaking news here, and that is that Mike Pence will be the Republican nominee for president, Vice President of the United States. I gave you a list earlier of what we've got going on right now. Let me give you a domestic agenda and then an international agenda, then we'll go right to your calls. Let me tell you what's going on domestically. We have filed a FOIA request on the State Department regarding their censorship, the lies, the false statements regarding the Iran nuclear deal. James Rosen, our friend from Fox News, broadcasted that, broke that story, and he saw the editing of the tape. We have now filed a federal lawsuit to sue the State Department on that. We have filed a FOIA request to the FBI and the Department of Justice about the censorship of the Orlando jihadist, remember Omar Martin's phone calls to 911 where they changed what he actually said in Arabic. We want to know why and who did that. We also want to know why the FBI, DHS has scrubbed words like radical Islam and jihad from their training manuals. That was delivered today. That Freedom of Information Act request. We've also sent a FOIA on what the administration is doing to stop genocide after there's been some congressional action, and Secretary of State Kerry said it was, in fact, genocide of Christians in the Middle East. In that regard, this week, we have two associate counsels working with our global advocacy and legal teams around the world addressing the continued ISIS genocide against Christians and other religious minorities, including Yazidis and Muslims they don't agree with in the Middle East, to put together two memos right now. I've got them here. One is more comprehensive on exactly the nature of the atrocities. The other is our response. So we are taking legal action on all of these issues, domestic and international. And we're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. So I want to encourage you to go to aclj.org and right now support the work of the ACLJ. Your donations are matched in our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. We are now going to go right to the phones. Let me quickly do this. Mike Pence is getting a lot of attention now. It looks like it's breaking to multiple sources, so it looks like it's Mike Pence. As Logan and Jordan said, you can't keep this stuff secret, anybody. What was it, Logan? You said somebody's got to print the signs?
Yeah, someone's got to print the signs. It's got to happen, you know?
Yeah, so it's out. It looks like it's Mike. And Jordan said anything can happen. But, Fan, I think this is a very smart pick on Donald Trump's part.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think Donald Trump was being honest with us when he said he wasn't looking for another attack dog. Yeah. He was looking for someone that's strong on policy. That is who Mike Pence is. Listen, I think there are going to be a lot of Donald Trump voters who preferred Newt Gingrich, but guess what? He's not going to lose those voters because he chose Mike Pence. It's a smart political move to look for new voters, and I think Mike Pence does that probably better than Newt Gingrich would have.
Yeah, I think it's natural for Donald Trump's supporters, his core supporters, people who have been with him throughout this process, not new converts to Donald Trump and new supporters, but people who have liked him through the primary process leading into the convention next week, that they would like someone like Newt Gingrich, who's been out there, who's been kind of a face on cable news, who's taken, you know, tough positions. But at the same time, as Than said, when it comes to, one, and Logan was talking about this too, the dueling nature of Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich, a little much, possibly.
Sure.
Just personality-wise, kind of similar, and both take very strong positions. I could actually see some headbutting there too as well. And I think Mike Pence, from his role, a little bit more, much more measured. He's not just a personality.
Do we want to give the poll results?
We can. A little irrelevant at this point, but let's do it anyway. All right. So, there, I mean, more than 100, 125 or so, 127 of you commented. I think a lot of it dried up once we announced what happened. So, one vote for the J Secular Band. Don't know how that would work. Two votes for just you. Christie, two votes. Rubio, two. Rice, two. Huckabee, three. Flynn, three. Palin, five. Cruz, five. Gowdy, nine. Carson, 13. West, 15. Pence, 26. And Newt, 39. I would say that Pence number has gone up since it was announced.
If I look at it on the feeds from Facebook, and I'm sure on Periscope too, it would be people announcing Pence as the guy. Well, we'll be able to talk about more of this tomorrow. Let's go ahead and hit these calls really quick.
All right, Susan in Virginia. I'm sorry, have you already been on the air? Is she on the air? No. Susan, you're on the air. Thanks for holding for half an hour.
Hey, Susan. We'll send you undemocratic. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Yes.
My question is this. With the presidential race being so close,
yep.
some polls show Clinton on top, some show Trump.
Yep.
I'm concerned about the issue of voter fraud.
Yeah.
And let me see what you think. During the last election, there was speculation about voter fraud, and I think it may have even been proven that there were dead people voting. And
yeah, and then, by the way, that happens every time. Is there voter fraud? Answer to that is yes, there has been since the beginning of the founding of our country. But the reality is it cannot reach. I do not believe it's going to be reach the level where it would impact
matter.
The fallout yeah. of an election.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about really the focus becomes on a handful of states.
What are the states?
And Susan's living in one of them. Virginia, obviously, is one of those purple states.
Yep.
But then you look at in this election, some of the new ones, again, North Carolina, Georgia has been added to a list of a focus state. Obviously, Florida,
yep.
Ohio, Wisconsin. You go out west to New Mexico. Arizona yep. can be a focus as well. I mean, it's a broader than just that. New Hampshire, and you've got a lot of places like Iowa. It's about a dozen to 17, and that then, you know, like Pennsylvania, and
yeah.
they get narrowed down. So
yep.
you start with under 20, and then you get to less than 10.
Yeah. I think that's
and
that's right.
Then where the lawyers focus, because you know you can have irregularities state to state, but that's not the focus.
All right, let's move on. Janet in California, you're on the air.
Hey, Janet, go ahead.
Oh yes, hi Jay. Thank you so much for everything you
sure.
and the guys do. All right, so he seems like a stand-up guy, Mike Pence,
yep.
and he doesn't have the name recognition. I like that Trump made such a solid choice, and I think we should help Mike by saying Pence makes sense.
I think we forgot who was actually printing those posters and leaking the information.
That's probably
it,
right.
It was Janet in California.
Yeah, Janet in California was leaking. Yeah, there you go. Pence makes sense. You know, quickly, Thanley, we got to do this quick because we got to hit these calls. My sense is for your colleagues in Washington right now, this is going to make – I'm going to be up there with you on Sunday, Monday, or Monday. But this is making them happy.
Yeah, they're going to like him. Listen, to know Mike Pence is to like him. You can
yeah.
disagree with him, but most times you like him anyway. The people here in D.C., they're going to be happy with this pick.
I stand leaking the information with the poster. That sounds like another thing. If you like Mike Pence, you're going to like, you know, it's all
uh-huh.
we're like
everybody's got
with,
a poster.
Everyone
all
has
right.
a tagline. All right, let's move on. Melanie in Montana, you're on the air.
Hey, Melanie, quickly, please.
Hey there. Hi, guys. Thank
yep.
you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, my concern is this. I grew up in a drug-addicted, alcoholic world, okay? And I was a liar. I was a pathological liar. I could tell when people are lying, and I know, and we can all tell. But my concern is this, Jay. There's scores of people out there that do not vote.
Yeah,
huge percent.
Yeah, it's a huge percent that don't vote. And we'd say, look, you may not love either one of these candidates, but I think you've got an affirmative obligation as an American to vote, period.
All
now,
right.
you can write a candidate in if you want, but I think you should vote. All right, Logan's telling me I got to do this quick.
Trisha,
he wants me to get through all
these. Trisha, you're
on the air. All right, Trisha, go.
Trisha.
Yes. My pick would have been Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
I felt like he had a lot of wisdom that our country
I think Newt's going to have a major role in the campaign.
Serious
go please.
National security role.
Yep.
It's not like he's not going to have a public face. He will be a public face of the Trump administration
yep.
and just won't doesn't like he'll be the
and there always
VP.
Is that fallout of people who don't know who this person is. They're disappointed just because they don't
yeah.
know who they are.
Yeah, people are comfortable with Newt. The conservative movement's been pretty
yeah.
comfortable with Newt.
All right, Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, just a quick comment.
Yeah.
I think he should have gone with Carson because he needs support from people that don't yet support him. So this choice today would only serve to just reinforce
well, I think,
the people.
Here's what I think is going to happen, Jim. I think you're going to see, and I may be wrong on this. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. We'll actually know tomorrow by the time we go on air. I think he may be rolling out a whole series of people, and Ben Carson will have a role in this administration if Donald Trump were to win. I can't imagine he would not. He was an early supporter once Ben got out of the race. And, of course, we've got a lot of affinity for Ben Carson. He's been a friend of our families for two decades. So, well, folks, that does it for today. Don't forget, we're fighting on the FOIA request. We're fighting on genocide. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We've got our matching challenge. Respond to our emails that are coming tomorrow. Back with more tomorrow.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for